Greetings and welcome to City Maven, where wine and people meet. We are on a journey from Chicago to Spain. We're looking for that perfect bottle of wine. So join us as we interview everyone under the sun, from teachers, local artists, and students. We want to know what you're drinking. So don't forget, bring your own bottle.
Welcome back to City Maven, folks. You're not supposed to laugh just yet. I have a special guest with us today. We are at the Chicago headquarters in what I'd like to believe is my studio room to do podcasts. So another wonderful wine and spirits importer distributor here in Chicago, folks. And before we even start diving into Juan's past life, current life, and possibly even future life, Juan, could you tell us about the studio here at City Maven headquarters?
Well, we're in a small little room. According to Andrea, it's got great acoustics, so she wants to record here. But it's quite cozy and very intimate.
Juan is practically sitting on my lap, intimate. No, there is space between us. There is plenty of space. But anyway, folks, I'm glad to be here in Chicago for the holidays this season. And Juan has been kind enough to offer his time and talk about wine with me since I have a new baby under my portfolio. What do we have?
We have Particular, which is a garnacha, and it's produced in Cariñena.
Spain.
Spain.
And geographically speaking, it's very close to Barcelona. And to be quite honest with you, it's got some really calcified soils in this area. So it's kind of nice to see a Garnacha under my portfolio that is a deviation from my Tempranillo.
And I do like the label.
Okay, so what do you see on the label?
What is the meaning behind the label?
The meaning behind the label, I'm definitely going to give it to you, but it's a huge cross, right?
Yes, correct.
It almost looks like ashes on Ash Wednesday.
Yes, it looks like it.
Okay, folks, it's got a very deep meaning to this cross. This label, these folks have been making wine for a very long time. And the way the label came about was based on the fact that these country people couldn't read. They had to use symbols to identify each grape and where they went.
Wow.
So the cross signified the Garnacha.
Oh, nice.
On these cement tanks. So it's pretty interesting how this has come about. It's very profound, I think.
Looking at the label, yes. And your meaning and explanation, yes, I can understand that right now.
Juan's going to do the honors and open up the bottle. Good. And then could you please pour me some more?
Of course. I'm sorry for being cheap.
Yes, we do not like cheap.
I forget I'm having wine with Andrea.
Okay, just like Juan said, it's Garnacha 2015, so it is definitely young, no oak whatsoever, so it comes right out of the vats, into this bottle, and right now into our thirsty mouths. So Juan, what do you get on the nose?
Get some cherries.
Mm-hmm.
You definitely you realize that it's not aged in oak at all, because there is a touch of the stainless steel from the tanks. But yeah, you get profound nose of cherries and some dark fruit on there.
I definitely get the jammy dark fruits in it. To the eye, very clear violet, not too as dark as some of the other like Tempranillos that we're used to looking at, or Garnachas. It's actually darker than a traditional Garnacha, I think, but lighter than a Tempranillo. Okay, let's see what the taste buds tell us. Wow, juicy.
Savory, yep. Ooh, nice balance. Get a lot of that fruit on the mid palate. And on the back end, you get hints of cherry.
I find it very refreshing, not complex. I get zero tannins.
Oh, no tannins at all.
Just juicy.
It's a nice everyday drinking wine. Can't go wrong with this. You enjoy it with your meal.
Or just like today.
Exactly.
Just talking to someone. Yep, no tannins, bright, jammy. I think jammy for me. I get berries, but I get more jam, right? Like some sort of like blueberry marmalade or something.
Yes, sir. I do get that as well.
Do you think this would taste good with peanut butter and jelly sandwich?
I'm assuming you've already tried that. So I'm assuming yes.
I don't know. I could see myself having a peanut butter sandwich in this wine.
And there's the jam.
That's exactly, because I thought marmalade. I'm like, this is perfect.
Is it an expensive wine?
It's $9.99 here in Chicago,
okay.
In a very posh area of Chicago. So, Maybe we should find it a little cheaper somewhere outside of the posh area.
Exactly.
So definitely affordable. I think it's a good Tuesday wine. So I'm going to switch gears here, folks, because Juan was very kind enough to join us today, as he is not only a peer, but I find him pretty fascinating in what he does in the wine world. I've never met someone who has dedicated a lot of time to other things than wine.
Really?
Yes.
Like this little curveball that's produced by grapes as well.
Yes.
Today I brought a Pisco. Company I own distributes some Peruvian wines and Piscos. And so one of the great things about Piscos and the fact that we're talking about wines, it's produced from grapes. Very similar in terms of production using copper alambiques, and very similar in style to, say, grappa, mm-hmm. or even it's technically considered a white brandy because of the process. And however, Pisco is a denomination in Peru. Mm-hmm. Chileans also make Pisco, but it's a completely different process. Mm-hmm. And today I brought one of the all-time well-known Piscos, not only for the younger generation, but the older generation, and it's Biondi. It's considered a sipping Pisco. Mm-hmm. Where here in Chicago, I don't think we're there yet.
But you're making it happen. You're paving the way, right?
Exactly. But slowly but surely, I think we're going to make it to that level.
Good.
So today I brought one that's produced using the Muscat varietal. Mm-hmm. So with Pisco production, you are basically fermenting grape must. Mm-hmm. So it's making wine. Mm-hmm. And you do complete fermentation. Mm-hmm. And then you take the juice and you distill it in a copper alambic, and it comes out to proof. And typically, it is about 43% alcohol. Uh-huh. And this one produced by Biondi, you're able to sip it.
Nice. So when you say distillation, are we talking about once, twice, three times?
You only distill it once in Peru. You don't have, the laws in Peru only allow for single distillation. You don't do double, you don't do triple, like vodka and other sorts of spirits.
Well, I'm excited to try this. Thanks for this particular curveball. So let's do this.
Are you ready?
Yeah. So what we're going to do, since we're going to recycle our sexy stemware, folks, just so you know, while he opens this up, we're just going to obviously clean out one of the glasses. But in our offices here today, we don't have wine glasses. We've got, what would you consider this?
Glasses.
It is what it is.
Yes.
So we're just going to have to share this glass because it's the only clean one we have. It's good for improvisation, right?
And then we'll have Andrea analyze the Pisco just to get her viewpoint on it.
Dear Lord. Okay, so looking at it, it obviously almost looks like vodka.
Yes, correct.
Right? Grappa. I have to admit the viscosity. I think it's thicker than your vodka. Vodka tends to be, I don't know, and I'm not the chemist here. In a little bit, we're going to talk about Juan's life and why he's gotten into wines. But we'll do that after we have a shot of Pisco. Perhaps more truths will come out. Okay, so here we go. So it's very clear.
Yes.
Viscosity is a little thicker than your traditional vodka, empirically speaking here. On the nose.
Can I add to that?
Oh, yeah, please.
I forgot to mention that typical Piscos, they use about 7 kilos of grapes to produce a 750-ml bottle. So that's about 14 pounds.
For one bottle?
For one bottle. However, the one we are trying uses twice the amount.
Why would they do that?
Because he is of Italian descent and he is extremely picky and anal about his Piscos. That is why it is the best in Peru.
Wow.
And that is why it has survived many generations as a sipping Pisco.
Wow. I'm excited now, folks. Now that I've got that much more information, it makes trying a product like this even better. Okay. On the nose, I get some sweet notes, right? I get honeysuckle. I mean, I get the alcohol. Obviously, it's a spirit, so you're going to get some alcohol.
Right. Correct.
Okay, so let me sip it. Oh, wow. Creamy. Light. Not abrasive. It coats your whole mouth. I mean, you get the alcohol, so I definitely get the 40% on the mouth. But it's got such a soft, sticking with the honeysuckle and floral. I get flowers.
Yes, definitely get a lot of flowers.
Mm-hmm. I sense even like a jasmine note. Oh, wow. How much am I allowed to really sip before I really get drunk on this?
I think you could probably sip about 2 ounces, and then you'll be feeling a little bit Bubbly.
Bubbly? Yes. Oh, I was about to say happy, but that'll work as well. Oh, wow. This is very pleasant. I'm not going to hog this, so I'm going to have you try some and then share your thoughts.
Yeah, definitely on the nose. I get honeysuckle, but I also get some orange peel. I'm a little bit of anise.
Oh, yeah, I didn't pick that
one. And so definitely you get that creaminess. Mm-hmm. It coats your tongue really nice. It's a little bit of heat on the back end, but you still get those characteristics of orange flavors, a little bit of lemon, even the anise that really comes out on the back end.
Let me try that again. I get the anise now.
Yes.
I get the anise, yeah. I can see why you said that. I got more of the jasmine at first, and I still do, but now that you say anise, I get it towards the very end.
Yes.
Pisco, very similar to grappa. You're paving the way here in Chicago for such a wonderful Peruvian product. I've been to Peru. I'm a big fan of pisco, as you know, and all its variations of it. So let me ask you about what kind of recipes do you prefer enjoying pisco with? Like, give me your top two.
Well, the traditional one is pisco sour. Mm-hmm. And basically what you're using is a pisco, mm-hmm. some lime juice, mm-hmm. some simple syrup, and egg white. You know, put it in a cocktail shaker, shake it. The egg white is used just to create the froth on the pisco sour.
So it's like a decorative piece on it?
It's a decorative piece on it, but it's an offshoot of the whiskey sour.
Oh.
And so that is why it's an old classic cocktail, the whiskey sour, mm-hmm. which back in the day, they were using egg whites to create froth on a lot of the cocktails.
It wasn't dairy. It was egg whites.
It was egg whites, yes. Correct.
I like that idea better, actually. It seems a lot healthier.
Yes. Unfortunately, there are some people who are allergic to those products nowadays.
Right.
So we've got to be careful. Mm-hmm. So those are options.
Okay, got it.
You can have it with or omit it.
So what's your second one?
My second one, obviously the second favorite, which is in Peru as well. And you're talking about the chilcano, uh-huh. which is basically using ginger ale, mm-hmm. some lime, and a touch of bitters to top it off. And your pisco, which is an extremely refreshing drink. Mm-hmm. And it's really commonly used in Peru. Mm-hmm. And it's also starting to be used here in the U.S. quite mm-hmm. a bit. But pisco sour still tends to be the popular drink. Mm-hmm. And many people think pisco, you drink it in the summer. But no, pisco you can drink year-round. You can make cocktails year-round.
This makes you feel warm and fuzzy. It's cold in Chicago.
Yes.
I think I could deal with this warmth right about now. So yeah, absolutely. This is a very nice drink. So you're going to have to give us those both recipes so we could add it to the City Maven site. Underneath this podcast?
I will.
Okay, good. Good to hear. And just tell us a little bit about yourself. I know you're in the wine industry. You're an importer, distributor, and you've got a lot of products underneath your portfolio. So
yes.
Tell us a little bit about the products you carry.
The company was started because I am first generation Peruvian. Parents immigrated here. And basically, I wanted to bring something that was associated with Peru into the market. Initially, I wanted to import, mm-hmm. but because of the difficulties back then, mm-hmm. in importing products, I chose to distribute for the time being. Mm-hmm. And started the company with Peruvian wines only. And then pisco came on board, mm-hmm. so fell passionately in love with pisco as well. But from there, we just really grew and we focused our portfolio on South American products. Argentina, Chile, but we are still strong with our Peruvian products, in that we've brought in Peruvian rums as well.
Yay.
So we are really focused on one Peru, and you know we've made strides in Chicago, mm-hmm. and in the U.S. To start popularizing not just pisco but all products associated with Peru.
Wonderful! So, I love that. I know that you've got this Ecuadorian
aguardiente,
which eventually we'll have another podcast. This has to be part two, right? There's going to have to be a part two to this.
And a part three.
And the long list of products. Juan, folks, has such an extensive portfolio, but we're happy to just have him around for the pisco because I have to admit it's my favorite product out of Peru. So Juan, in addition to doing that, also has a previous life because you haven't done this always.
No, my background is chemical engineering.
It falls into place.
It falls into place with all the chemistry that's associated with winemaking.
Fermentation,
as well as distilling. Like they said, wine is a science and an art. I guess I get to see both sides of it. So it's always fascinating.
A chemist / importer. What was it? Oh, sorry. Bring. He's like, let me tell you, girly girl, engineer, chemical engineer.
Chemical engineer.
Okay, I'll get it straight. I mean, eventually. I mean, give me some more pisco. Maybe I'll get it right next time. as he pours more pisco. Okay. I'm gonna take one more sip before we bow out gracefully we start dancing in this very intimate private booth of my studio. Absolutely brilliant. Thank you for sharing this distilled spirit. Folks, if you have a chance to ever travel to Peru, you have to have pisco sour. My favorite.
What's your favorite?
Oh, folks.
That wraps up this episode, sponsored by CityMaven.com. Hasta la próxima. Until next time.